In the game of golf, when a player gets a second chance to tee off, it's called a mulligan. When children play games, they'll often cry for a do-over. Well, what if there are parts of your life that you would like to do over? Robin Hemley is an award-winning writer, but was haunted by embarrassing memories of his failures in kindergarten, at summer camp, the prom, and other milestones. So at the age of 48, he went back for a second chance. His stories are told in a new book, Do Over. Robin Hemley is in the studios of WSUI in Iowa City, Iowa. Welcome to the program, Robin.
Thank you, Leanne. Thanks for having me.
You're a really successful guy. Couldn't you just let these memories go?
Well, you know, it's hard to say what's trivial in your life and what's not. I mean, there are things that I just couldn't let go from when I was a child. A bad performance in a play called The Littlest Angel was one. I flubbed a line when I was 7. And I would tell this as a kind of anecdote throughout my adulthood. And I always thought, why does this one stick in my mind? Because I've been in other plays. I did fine. But as I was doing my book, I realized that it was the only play that my father had ever seen me in. He died of a heart attack that same year. And a lot of those do-overs that I did were like that. As I was doing them, I discovered why they were so important to me.
So let's start with kindergarten. I mean, how bad could it really have been when you were a kid?
Well, mine was really bad. Mine was unusually bad. My kindergarten teacher actually had to be committed the year after I was in her class. And she was a fairly loopy individual. She would step on my back at nap time and do all kinds of crazy things. And I was, again, sort of haunted by this weird experience in kindergarten with this strange teacher.
You got under her nerves a little bit.
I did.
tell the lobster in the report card story.
Yeah, what happened was we got these report cards, and I was supposed to get my mother's signature on the report card, so I was looking at the signature during my bath time, and somehow a rubber lobster, a little toy that I had, got stuck in the folds of the report card and dried there. And the next day, Mrs. Collins opened up the report card, and out popped this rubber lobster right into basically her open mouth. And she screamed, and she called my mother in for a conference and said that I was going to grow up to be a thug.
So you picked a kindergarten to go back to, and you get permission to do this. You're 48 years old. Weren't you a little bit conspicuous? I mean, I'm trying to imagine you on the little mat during nap time.
I was more than a little conspicuous. And of course, with all of these things that I was doing, there were moments of just abject terror before I went to kindergarten, you know. But what was amazing was the kids immediately accepted me, not as a 5-year-old, but as a fellow kindergartner. And that became evident on the first day when we were waiting to be dismissed. We were sitting in a circle, and one of the kids asked me, "So, who's picking you up after school?" And I said, "My wife." And they all looked at me and blinked like cats. And one of them said, "Oh, I thought you were going to say your dad." So they really accepted me as a kindergartner. The teacher had explained to them that I had had a bad time and I wanted to come back and have a great time.
And did you?
I did. I loved it.
So what was your problem at summer camp?
Well, summer camp, I was sort of a bad physical specimen. I couldn't play sports very well. And this was actually the first do-over that I attempted to do. And I thought, you know, I could probably go back and actually beat a bunch of 10-year-olds at basketball and soccer and baseball. Obviously not a very mature reason to do this, but, you know, there you have it. And in fact, I found out that I still couldn't beat them. They were so much better than I was.
You actually bunked with 10-year-old boys.
I did.
Counselors were teenagers or verging on young adults. Was there any concern raised about a 48-year-old man sleeping in a cabin with 10-year-old boys?
Definitely. In fact, before I could do any of these things, I had to go through a background check. I would have been concerned if I hadn't. Same with the grade schools. When I went back to kindergarten and sixth grade and so on, I not only had to get a background check, but I had to write a letter to all the parents, and they had to agree that it would be okay.
So did the counselors treat you as a 10-year-old?
they seemed to relish the idea of ordering me around as just another kid. And it was fun. I mean, it was funny because there's something that I learned about in summer camp. It's called regressive pull. And it's this idea that if you're around a group of people who are appreciably younger than you, you actually start acting that age. So I was around a bunch of 10-year-olds, and I have to say that regressive pull had me in a bit of a headlock.
Huh. How did the 10-year-olds treat you? Did they accept you as readily as the kids in kindergarten?
Oh, yeah. I was, you know, fairly popular in the bunk, which is completely different from when I originally went to camp. But, yeah, for the most part, except, you know, this was a camp of 350 campers, and not everyone had been let in on the story. So I remember one time walking to dinner, and I was in a camper T-shirt, and a group of fascinated eighth graders eyed me and said, "Are you a counselor or a camper?" And I said, "I'm a camper." And they said, "Did you flunk fifth grade 100 times?" So, you know, I did get some of those kinds of reactions, but for the most part, everyone accepted me.
Prom.
Yes.
What happened when you were in boarding school, when you were old enough to actually go to the prom at your school?
Well, I went to a small boarding school in Tennessee, in Suwanee, Tennessee, and it was mostly boys and just about 30, 40 girls. And there was one young woman who I was actually in the school play with. We were the two leads. And I kind of wanted to ask her out to prom, but I was too shy. And so I basically spent the night of prom just sort of looking longingly in the window at all the other couples dancing. But I did have a chance to actually take this woman to the prom in my do-over. And it was just by coincidence that I ran into her.
Yeah, I mean, explained it. Here's the crush of your life. And then you go back to the boarding school, you're married, and you run into the same girl, and she's married too.
Yeah, what happened was I called up the school to see if I could go back for a week, and they put me right in touch with the alumni liaison, who happened to be this woman I had a crush on when I was 16. And we hadn't spoken in, I don't know, 30 years or whatever. And I said to her, "So, Lizzie, if I do get to go back to board there, would you go to the prom with me?" And she laughed and said, "Well, you know, I'll check with my husband." And I said, "Yeah, I'll check with my wife." And it worked out. In fact, on prom night, I took her to dinner. I also took her husband to dinner and their 8-year-old son. And I doubt many prom couples do that.
So are you healed? I mean, did these experiences exorcise your demons?
Yeah, definitely. It was such a remarkable experience for me because in a way I got to reoccupy past embarrassments and failures and really put them in perspective. And I realized that they were not necessarily failures.
Robin Hemley is the author of Do-Over, in which a father of three returns to kindergarten, summer camp, the prom, and scenes of other embarrassments. He joined us from the studios of WSUI in Iowa City, Iowa. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leanne.
You can read a chapter of Robin Hemley's Do-Over on our website, npr.org. Are there moments in your life you would like to do over? Let us know. Go to our blog, npr.org/soapbox.